This is The Real Estate Show for Chisholm and Gayman, Weno Bayside.
Hello, TK.
How are we, Eddie?
I'm well. How are you?
I'm excellent. It's been a fabulous week.
Oh, especially with the warmer weather.
Warmer weather, and we've had my two beautiful children have their birthdays during the week. So big hello to Willow and Orlando, one turning 8 and one turning 10. So it's been a festive week, Eddie.
Happy birthday, guys. What are we talking about today?
Well, look, we've got a few questions that are banked up, so we haven't done a Q&A for a while, Eddie.
Okay, off we go. I assume you've got some emails in front of you, TK.
We do indeed, Eddie. And the first one's from Jack, and I really like this question. It relates to pools, Eddie, and where is the best position to put one in, and are they still worth it?
Well, you wouldn't put it in the front yard.
The interesting thing is that every property is different, and given what you just said then... What we are actually finding is depending on the property and the actual size of the rear yard, and importantly, here's the key fundamental. The key two fundamentals for a pool are relationship to the living zone.
Yes.
And orientation.
Right.
So, for example, you know, we had a property not so long ago that struggled with benefiting from the pool because the pool was nowhere where the living zones were. So from parents' point of view, when the kids were playing in the pool, they couldn't see them from the living zone. So from my experience, it's a big no-no, unless you're an empty nester where it's an occasional dip. But if you're a family... and it's a family home that you own, you want to put the pool where there's visibility from the living zones.
So in your case, where was the pool?
Well, the difficulty here was this was a what I call an upside-down home. So the living zone was upstairs and the pool was next to the bedrooms downstairs in the rear yard. So it was a unusual design. So I think the reality...
Where was the kitchen?
Well, the kitchen was upstairs as well, Eddie.
Okay.
So, as I say, so the home still sold for a good price, but the reality is that we didn't see that plus one benefit from the pool because of where it sat, and also it became a hindrance because particularly, you know, not that the fathers are not as caring, but the mothers were very, very cognizant of the visibility limitations.
Sure.
In the end, that particular client, we had them put in a video system.
Okay.
After the feedback from the first week, and that, which actually linked into the TV. So you'd actually have a full viewing of the pool, which was a great compromise solution, but not perfect.
Just digressing a bit, do you have many upside-down homes?
Look, they're becoming more and more popular if there is a view. So you tend to find in Bayside, where there's a view, and this particular home did have a view, it made sense for it to have the living in the upstairs area because you didn't get a view of the water from the ground level. So that was the rationale behind it, and you are finding that. But the reality then is what you're better off doing, which I've had three clients do, is actually build a pool to either the side or the left where a secondary terrace would be, where the pool becomes a water feature on that second level. Now, it does require a few extra concrete beams and steel and
one or two
and load bearing, Eddie. So it is it's not the cheapest exercise, but look, bottom line is if you're in the suburbs that we deal with and you've got a water view, it's very hard to overcapitalise, and particularly there's one that we've just done where we've put it over the way that the property works, the garage situation, the top level of the garage actually had the best view. So we've whacked in a square pool and it is fantastic, and the relationship between that and the living area is, it's world-class. So, you know, when they go to sell that home, for the listeners there, an average pool will cost somewhere between sort of 40 to 50, but a designer pool will be somewhere between 80 and 100,000.
So are we talking a concrete pool or are we talking fiberglass?
Well, it's interesting that...
Because if you're going to go up a second level, if I may, if you're going to go up a second level, then surely you'd go fiberglass.
Look, and the fiberglass option, this particular one was built out of concrete because that was the owner had a preference for that, but certainly fiberglass is a genuine option there. And because of the technology and the improvements and the way that the fiberglass looks, it doesn't look like it used to, where it's clearly a fiberglass pool. The tones and the colours that you can get and the lighting facilities that you can now get with the fiberglass give you a genuine option.
TK, we need to break. Back shortly.
This is The Real Estate Show for Chisholm and Gayman, Weno Bayside.
9531 1245, the one central number to call for Chisholm and Gaiman. We know Bayside. 9531 1245 for all your real estate needs, residential, commercial, property management, sales. Four offices. Where are they, Torsten?
Mount Martha, Blackrock, Elwood and Port Melbourne, Eddie.
And we're talking pools.
We are indeed. So we were just saying before with the elevated pool and the option, and it did was a nice segue to as to another question, which wasn't in Jack's email, but it's a good one.
Mm-hmm.
Fiberglass versus concrete. The reality is the gap is closing. There's no question the market still prefers a concrete pool, but certainly due to cost limitations or ease of construction, if you're retrofitting a pool, certainly a fiberglass is a genuine option. And in my experience, it's actually what you do above the water level as far as the landscaping, the decking, the tiling. You can actually really conceal that it almost is a fiberglass pool in the sense of just giving it some real flair and style above the water.
So, well, they don't look ugly anymore.
They don't, and that's you know, that's been the big difference, because they don't have those ugly big fat lips that they used to have.
Which
you know, as soon as you saw it, you go, oh, there's a fiberglass pool. Now they've actually got very smart, where they've actually got a what we call a thin line lip, which you can lay tile straight over.
Yes,
and that makes all the difference as far as, you know, the aesthetics. And that's, you know, look, the reality is it is an extension, and that was going to be my next point. It is an extension of architectural design and landscaping, that indoor-outdoor living. We've talked about outdoor kitchens before.
Yes.
What I think is beautiful, if you have got a pool, position it to one end closer to the living zone so that it can abut, again, my favourite, Eddie, floor-to-ceiling glass windows.
Yes.
If the house, you know, or the extension merits that, there are period homes where that won't be appropriate, but certainly if it does and you've got that ability, and again, get some advice from your agent and a stylist that might be in association with the agent.
How do you minimise heat with floor-to-ceiling glass windows?
Eddie, that's a great question, and the answer is really, really simple. Just a lovely little overhang, and then that just allows you to protect the actual angle of the sun coming reflecting on those windows. So basically, and you can, there are experts out there that will measure the angle of the slats of the overhang and also the actual length and width that should actually be, which actually minimises the peak heat during a Melbourne day. So there's...
How about window tinting?
Another great solution also with the window tinting. Double glazing, just from a thermal and acoustic point of view, again, is a real plus. And within the environmental features of glass now, the actual cost of your thickened glass has come down significantly because of the actual popularity, because of the actual environmental features of actually having it. It does retain heat far better in winter, and it keeps out the heat in summer. So.
Indeed.
There's a whole lot of thermal qualities to that. But getting back to the pools...
That's what I was going to say. Getting back to the pools, how popular are pools Bayside, seeing you're probably a hop, skip and a jump from the beach?
Look, we've just seen probably a 20% increase in the number of pools being built in our areas over the last 3 to 4 years. And we were talking about finishes before. I just valued a penthouse in Port Melbourne, and I'm not sure I'd be comfortable swimming in this pool, but because it's just me. But I don't love heights. But certainly this is a few stories up in the air. And the actual wall that faces the waterfront is glass, Eddie. And I've seen too many James Bond movies where there's been
that or Mission Impossible.
Mission Impossible. And I'm just fearful of that one crack.
Yes.
But anyway, it is spectacular. You can sit in your pool, and you've actually, as you go underwater, if you're wearing your goggles or you've got fairly sturdy eyes, you can actually see the ocean, which is pretty,
goodness
pretty amazing,
me.
Really. So,
how about the apartments underneath?
Well, again, look, with those, it's been constructed with concrete and the membrane and all waterproof. So that they've, you know, that particular building has a number of pools on that top level with all these penthouse apartments that there's four of them.
Yes.
They all each have a pool. So they've had no issues, which is a credit to the architect and
absolutely,
more importantly, to the builder. But, gee, spectacular.
Mm.
But as I say, you wouldn't. I wouldn't be spending a lot of time at that western edge, Eddie, where the glass is. I'd be sitting on the seat on the other end of the pool.
Yeah, indeed. Torsten, we need to break, but after the break, I'm going to ask you about spas.
This is The Real Estate Show for Chisholm and Gaiman. We know Bayside.
Torsten, we continue now. Before the break, I was going to ask you about spas. What's better, an independent spa or a combination spa?